Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the new film Official Secrets stars Keira Knightley and tells the story of Catherine Gunn and her high-profile case during the lead-up to the Iraq War. Gunn worked for the British equivalent of the NSA. She received a memo from the U.S. asking the GCHQ to spy on members of the UN Security Council to gather any information they could to twist their arms into supporting the war. Once the British papers ran the article, Gunn admitted to being the leak and was charged with treason. But the story doesn't end there, because Gunn was never prosecuted, because that would mean the British government would have to give up documents that could prove the illegitimacy of the entire war. It's a fascinating look back at modern history, but also a telling tale about the role of our public servants and what responsibility they may have to expose possible government misdeeds. The great film is based on the real story of Catherine Gunn, and she's my guest in studio tonight. Catherine, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So this film, what do you think? First off, let's get right into it. Keira Knightley plays you. That's a pretty good start.
Yeah, beyond my wildest dreams. Nothing I could have ever imagined.
Really?
Yeah.
The idea of your story being told in this way, you know, when you look back and you see the events unfold on the screen when you watch this film, are they accurate? Do you feel like this was the right portrayal of what happened to you?
Yeah, I'm very happy with this production. I think the director, Gavin Hood, when he took over the project, he sat down with me and Martin Bright, who is a journalist, mm-hmm. and Ben Emerson, who is the legal counsel, and everyone involved, basically. But he started off with me, and we spent 5 days pretty much in London, where he said, okay, Catherine, start from the beginning. And so that's what I did, and I just went right through the whole series of events, and he just wrote it all down by hand in this massive leather notebook. And so I've been very much involved, and so has Martin Bright, mm-hmm. and we've all been contributing to it. So I think I stand by it. I think obviously it's a work of, it has a degree of artistic license.
Sure.
And certain characters have been fictionalized, but in the main, you know, there are still people who are alive and well, living in the UK and various parts of the US, and so this is, on all the material facts, it's correct.
Yeah. You know, the film, which I really enjoyed, there's a lot of ways you could go with this kind of story, and we see it in Hollywood and all the time. Mm-hmm. The idea that this could be a chase film, this could be an action adventure.
Right.
The premise itself of leaking what could be secrets that could change the course of history,
mm-hmm.
you know, that could go in a lot of different ways. So I guess that's kind of why I ask every time, waiting for some elaborate chase car scene or
right.
some Jason Bourne type thing to happen.
Yeah.
But this movie is much, much more about the impact and about the moral implications of speaking out when you feel like your government is doing something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit to not being a person who's very much into film, but other people have said that this is more akin to things like All the President's Men, and it's a kind of old school,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
more a study in character and just definitely not a high speed Jason Bourne type, you know.
And I like that. Let's get into your story, because mm-hmm. this is the film is based on your story. You are the main character. You were working for, like I said, the equivalent of the NSA for the British government.
Mm-hmm.
A memo comes across that essentially points out what a lot of people in the United States at the time were thinking, that this was really more of a marketing campaign to war than an actual war because of threats or safety.
Right.
And this corroborated or possibly confirmed that.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind at that time in your life, I can't even imagine the idea. There's a great scene where you're moving it from disc to printer and having to deal with the stress that goes around leaking. Take us to that moment in the film where Keira Knightley is making the choice to do this. What was going through your mind at that time?
Yeah, you know, it's 17 years ago, and it feels like a lifetime ago, and it feels like almost like, did it really happen? You know, but I was, as soon as I made the decision that this was something I felt the public should know about, I immediately felt guilty. Like, I immediately knew I was doing something surreptitious and I shouldn't be doing it. It was against all regulations. But at the same time, the memo had appalled me so much. You know, it was the very nature of the language. It was the fact that it was kind of very blasé, mm-hmm. and it wanted, you know, it just expected it. The NSA expected GCHQ to do their dirty work. You know, it was as plain as that. So there is still a lot of questions that haven't been answered. So the film is bringing it back up to date, and hopefully journalists will take the bait and ask the questions, especially in the UK, for example, who actually authorized this? Did NSA just simply email this memo over to GCHQ and say, hey guys, do this for us? Mm-hmm. Or did it go through the chain of command, and did the then Foreign Secretary Jack Straw okay it? You know, so
there's a lot of questions.
There are a lot of questions. And I was so appalled by the fact that they were willing to twist arms, that the whole motive was to twist arms, blackmail and bribe and use whatever information they could to get a resolution which would authorize the invasion of Iraq. Mm. So once that authorization had taken place, you know, it was like the whole United Nations was saying, okay, we're okay with this.
Yeah, everybody's on board, right?
Everybody's on board to invade a country that was not threatening anybody, you know? And so I guess I was just, it was anger.
And and I would assume in the role of being in GCHQ, there are going to be a lot of dirty work. The idea of gathering intelligence or some of the things that you may have to do. Mm-hmm. We need to get this. We need to check this person's phone. Whatever it might be, there's a level of, okay, this doesn't really affect me, so I'm going to do it because that's my job. Mm-hmm. What about this memo was not just sort of, I'm going to do my job, that I have to speak up?
The red line that I was not prepared to cross was that innocent lives were involved. We're talking about invading a country and dropping countless tons of bombs and missiles on a country, and it would destroy innocent lives, and they had nothing to do with anything, you know. So that was, for me, the red line I was unwilling to cross.
Catherine Gunn is my guest, one of the famed whistleblowers of our modern time, for calling out and really taking a memo that was brought in about the trying to twist arms and blackmail UN Security Council during the lead up to the war in Iraq. The film is called Official Secrets. Keira Knightley's a star. Gavin Hood, the great director, directs it. So we'll continue the conversation. Catherine Gunn in studio tonight here on Extension 720. So stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Catherine Gunn is my guest. Film Official Secrets tells her story. It's a real-life story of the high-profile case of the lead-up to the Iraq War and a leaked memo that really showed the U.S. desire to either, you could say it in a nice way to say twist arms, a bad way to say blackmail, U.N. Security Councils to approve a resolution to go to a war in Iraq. Catherine, this story, you know, is one that, when I say you're of modern history, you're one of the more renowned whistleblowers. This is a story that we have seen in America in the last 10 to 15, 20 years, not just with the Trump administration, but with the Obama administration, mm-hmm. where Edward Snowden and other names that have come forward to essentially say that this is the government is public and we need to know what the government is doing. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of pushback. We even saw where some are don't live in this country are avoiding the government. Mm-hmm. So you see this play out. Your story plays out and plays out and plays out, mm-hmm. and continues. Do you feel like it? That we've evolved to accept the role or to embrace the role of whistleblower? Or do you feel that the government still controls the narrative and be like that whistleblowers are bad?
You know, that's a very good question. And actually, until this film came out or comes out, I don't think I was that well known. In fact, you know, I would say my case was a footnote in the history of the Iraq War. So, in fact, nobody really knew about my case. However, the issue is very much alive and kicking, as you say, and I think it's probably worse. I mean, because as far as I know, under Obama's administration, he prosecuted supposedly more whistleblowers than any previous presidents combined, mm-hmm. and that includes people like Thomas Drake, who was very senior NSA managerial position, and he was pushed into his whistleblowing because he'd gone through all the official channels internally and nobody was listening to him. And I think, you know, Ed Snowden and Bradley Manning or Chelsea Manning, they're exposing wrongdoing on the part of the government. So whether you agree or don't agree with their acts, the fact is that in Ed Snowden's case, he was saying, exposing the fact that the U.S. government was wiretapping, was spying on U.S. citizens, and they denied it. They lied about it, you know. And so I think if you find that the government is lying about something which is pertinent to the citizens' well-being and their interest, I won't say it's your duty, but I think you have to be very conscious of your decision whether to go along with it or to expose it.
In your case, you know, you talked about a little bit about the feeling of when you actually did it. When you were seeing the fallout before you came forward, was it more heightened? Did you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders as more and more? There's a great scene where Keira Knightley didn't think that they thought they'd investigate it, perhaps not just leak the memo on the front page of the papers, but there seemed to be this such an overwhelming story about not trusting the governments when it came to trying to get this war in Iraq off the ground. Did you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders as the story was out and no one knew you were behind it?
No, my biggest fear at the time was becoming known. So when the story was splashed across the front pages of the Observer newspaper, that moment when I saw that, I was absolutely terrified. I was literally sick with terror, you know, and part of it was that the realization that I wasn't going to get away with it. You know, I knew then that I wasn't going to be able to claim innocence over this. Mm-hmm. And for my own conscience as well. I mean, I've never been any good at telling lies. So I couldn't carry on a kind of duplicitous role at GCHQ pretending I had nothing to do with it. But yeah, really my biggest fear was not being anonymous anymore. So that I just had a real fear of losing the anonymity thing of just being an everyday, ordinary citizen.
When you came forward and you took credit for this, that's another part of this film that's very interesting, because automatically, and I don't know if this is the American in me, that this would be a film about how the government treated you once you were in there. But there was just more of it felt, at least in the movie, it felt that there was this, it was very up and up, meaning they were like, we're going to charge you, this is how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Were you afraid of what could happen to you while in custody to the British government when they're thinking about what to do with you?
Well, you know, the whole process took a year. So I was actually bailed for 8 months. And when I was arrested on suspicion of breaking the Official Secrets Act, I was kept overnight for just under 24 hours in the police cells. But then I was bailed, and I was bailed for 8 months. And it was just this constant kind of limbo of not knowing what was going to happen to me. And meanwhile, having been told that I wasn't able to actually discuss my case with my lawyers.
Yeah.
You know, so the gagging thing.
Right.
So
if you did, then you were
guilty. Yeah, right. And that was very frustrating. And I felt very alone throughout the whole process. And it was only when I was charged in November 2003 that my name came out. And at that point, I suddenly got overwhelming support, especially from the U.S. So that was when Dan Ellsberg personally got in touch with me, bless his heart, and all these other, you know, they signed, and Democracy Now! And Accuracy.org and IPA, you know, they got people motivated to support me. They sent out press releases.
Did you think that would happen? Do you think that?
No, I had no idea. Yeah. And I got hundreds of emails from U.S. citizens who sent these just really supportive, heartfelt emails about, you know, how they were so proud of me and stuff like this. And it was amazing. You know, I was really, really touched by that.
obviously was a big anti-war movement at the time, and there continues to be. But this was one that you think about the largest in history, the demonstrations against the war.
Mm-hmm.
There was a movement, and in a way, it seemed to cloud. I don't want to say the objective necessarily, mm-hmm. but it clouded because there was so much in the anti-war movement that everyone thought maybe this memo was a fake or this was being planted by the anti-war activists of the time.
Yeah,
that this was not a real story. That it almost mirrors what's happening in 2019, where everything is partisan. But this idea that that's fake and that's not real. How does that make you feel when you think about the idea of doing this to speak out and for people to put you in a corner or to say that this is what you are and your motives are not clear?
That's kind of why I've not thrown myself forward to be a mascot or to be. I mean, back in 2004. You know, I was just newly married. In fact, when this whole thing kicked off, when I leaked the memo, my husband and I had only been married 6 months. So I just wanted to have this normal family life. And I was very wary of jumping onto a bandwagon and being manipulated into something that I wasn't. Because I also was quite cognizant of the fact that I wasn't very knowledgeable, and I was still pretty naive, I think, mm-hmm. in some respects. So, yeah. So for me, once the story had blown over, all I wanted to do was to go back to normality, live my life, and, you know, and that's pretty much what I've done. In the main.
This film, obviously very specific about a moment in time in which I think is still playing out. I don't think that the verdict is in yet about what led up to the war and whether or not these are war crimes by people who had different motives than protecting their people. But I come back to the idea of the whistleblower, because we've seen, and there's some great stuff in the film too, discussing this stuff. But this notion that we see in the Trump administration in America of more embarrassing the president. The president said this behind closed doors, or the president leaked it, or someone leaked this about what the president might have done or said in a closed door meeting. I think it confuses a little bit this idea of what, you know, you're doing to make sure that the government is not doing wrong,
mm-hmm.
and what you're doing to politically embarrass maybe your competitor or different party, or maybe someone you don't want to be running your party.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see it that way? That I think that's where it gets clouded about people's thoughts on leaks and whistleblowers.
No, I would agree with that. And I think there's always been situations where, you know, there are internal leaks. I mean, we know that within the government, there are people who have links with media organizations. And we know that they will feed stories to the media organization just to kind of make some other person look bad or to sabotage their campaign or whatever.
Political advantage.
Yeah, it's all that.
Right.
So that's totally different to people, ordinary citizens like myself who are working a job, whatever the job is, whether you're working in intelligence or in any other sphere. You see wrongdoing on the part of your government or your organization or your industry. If you try to bring those issues up internally and you get stonewalled or you get bullied or you get pushed out of your job, then something is wrong, you know, because whistleblowers are crucial in preventing sometimes catastrophic things, you know, and for example, in the nuclear industry or in submarines or, you know, there's any manner of things that you would like to know if something is not right.
Catherine Gunn, my guest, the film is Official Secrets. Gavin Hood, the director, Keira Knightley. That's one of the best actresses of our time, and she gets to play you on screen. Catherine Gunn, thank you so much for being my guest and talking about the film and your life here on Extension 720.
Thank you very much.